Welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Hochheimer, and today we are studying Yechezkel, Perek Yud Zayin, Chapter 17. In the last two prakim, Yechezkel has used the technique of mashal to convey his message. In this perek, he once again uses a mashal, but in a slightly different way. In the previous prakim, his message was directed globally to the Jewish people and their behavior. Here, Yechezkel uses a mashal that is couched in a riddle and addresses the political decisions surrounding Tzidkiyahu and Galus Yehoyachin. We have heard about these events in Melachim Beis, Prakim Chaf Gimel through Chaf Hei, chapters 23 through 25, and in Yirmiyahu, Prakim Chaf Zayin, 27, Lamed Zayin, 37, and Lamed Tes, 39. To supplement what we are discussing here, you can go review those Prakim to better appreciate the background and story behind this mashal. Those Prakim were written for an audience in Israel. This parak is written as a riddle to obfuscate some of the meanings of the text from unworthy listeners living in Bavel. As a historical background for this parak, Yehoyachin became king, and only a few months later, Bavel felt he was not loyal enough and exiled him. In his place, Bavel installed Mataniah, who was renamed Tzidkiyahu, as king. People believe that Yehoyachin, who was imprisoned in Bavel, would again be reinstated to his throne and assumed Tzidkiyahu's reign was temporary. After 9 years of loyalty to Bavel, Tzidkiyahu stopped paying taxes to Bavel. Instead, he created an alliance with the Pharaoh in Egypt and relied on that alliance to save him from any consequences from Bavel for his disloyalty. Yirmiyahu warned him against this pact and said that instead he should stay loyal to Bavel. But Tzidkiyahu did not listen, and indeed Pharaoh returned to Egypt with his soldiers and did not defend Tzidkiyahu or Yerushalayim when Bavel came to lay siege on the city. 2 years later, in the 12th year, Tzidkiyahu is captured and brought to Rivla, where he is blinded and imprisoned. The Nevuah in this parak has 5 parts. First, there is the mashal of a large eagle who removes a tree and plants a vine. The eagle is a mashal for Nebuchadnezzar and his political control over Yehuda. Next, there is a description of another eagle, large but not as powerful, which represents Pharaoh. In this section, the vine asks the second eagle for water. Third, the large eagle punishes the grapevine. Fourth, there are 2 explanations for this riddle and why Tzidkiyahu was punished in the way that he was. Finally, the last 3 psukim are words of consolation, divrei nechama, for the Jewish people. Let's learn the mashal together. Pasuk Beis, verse 2. Ben Adam, chud chida umshal mashal el bnei Beis Yisrael. Son of man, riddle a riddle and give a mashal to the house of Israel. Hashem tells Yechezkel to say a riddle, so only those who should understand would understand. What is the riddle? The psukim explain. Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. Hanesher ha-gadol, gadol ha-knafayim, erech ha-ever, malein ha-notza, asher lo ha-rikma. A great eagle, the great eagle, with the greatest wings and long pinions, full of feathers, which had many colors. Ba el ha-levanon, vayikach es sameres ha-erez. Came to the Lebanon and took the top of the cedar. A majestic, spectacular eagle comes to the crown of a large tree, the tallest of trees, and removes it. This majestic eagle, who is the most distinguished of the most powerful of all birds because of its size and plumage, refers to Nebuchadnezzar. Only this bird, with its extraordinary wingspan, could have reached this forest with its tall cedars and taken the crown of the tallest tree. This forest of cedars is a symbol for Israel, which is greater than all of the other lands. The tree Yerushalayim and its crown is the royal house of Yehoyachin, the king, who was taken by Nebuchadnezzar to Babel. Pasuk Dalet, verse 4. The Pasuk will now explain what else the eagle removed. Es roshi nikosav kataf, he cropped off the topmost of the young twigs, v'yaviehu el eretz Kanaan b'ir rochlim shamo, and carried it to the land of the Canaan. He set it in a city of merchants. This eagle took off all the young branches that were on the top and the sides of the tree, which ensures the tree's future vitality. It either refers to Yehoyachin, who was only 18 years old when he was brought to Galus, so he's very young, or it may refer to the others who were exiled with Yehoyachin. The land of merchants is, of course, Bavel. In Pasuk He, verse 5, it adds how the eagle then proceeded. Vayikach mizera ha'aretz, vayitnehu b'stei zara. He took from the seed of the land and planted it in the fruitful soil. Kach amayim rabim tzafzafa samo. He placed it beside many waters. He set it as a mountain willow. The eagle didn't just prune the tallest tree. He took different seeds from the same land and planted in a place so that they would grow healthily as they would have ample water supply. The plant this eagle hoped to grow would be weak, it would be a willow, but still healthy for its type. This is referring to how Nebuchadnezzar established the reign of Tzidkiyahu. Tzidkiyahu was a descendant of David, so no foreigner would need to rule the lands of Israel. He was to be a weak monarch who was still subjugated to the direction of Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't have any real power on his own. We then see in the next pasuk that this plant grew in unexpected ways. It became a vine that spread out across the ground, but did not grow taller. Despite the limitations on the plant was vibrant and grew badim, thick and strong leaves. Tzidkiyahu was expected to stay completely subservient to Babel and not demonstrate any autonomy or self-will, which is the mashal for the plant that was growing along the ground. Although he was from Malchus Beis David, he was to be stunted with no aspirations, just as this vine hugs the ground. However, like the plant's rapid growth, Tzidkiyahu was still able to gain prestige among his neighbors, even though he was being controlled by Nebuchadnezzar. In the next three psukim, another eagle appears on the scene. Pasuk Zion, verse 7. Vayhi nesher achad gadol, gadol knafayim v'rav notza. There was also another great eagle, with great wings and many feathers. Vinei ha-gefen hazos kafna sharasheha alav. And behold, this vine did bend its roots toward him. This new eagle represents Paro, to whom Tzidkiyahu turned for help. The Navi distinguishes between the two eagles mentioned. The first eagle was called Hagadol, the great one, Gadol Haknafayim, with the large wings. It was a particular bird with a wingspan that was unique. The second eagle is just called Gadol, large, with large wings. The second eagle also had many feathers, but not of the same quality or quantity as the first eagle. The plant is the one who chose to seek water from the second eagle in this case. This plant was already planted by water and didn't need to ask for water. What it wanted was to be la sos anaf la ses peri, to be a more important vine with fruit and independence, which was an unrealistic goal. Likewise, Tzidkiyahu had a good relationship with Nebuchadnezzar. Babel supported him, and if Tzidkiyahu had just let things be, he would have been given more power and been able to establish his dynasty. Instead, he asked for help from Paro. This is the question that comes in Pasuk Tes, verse 9. With such a lack of loyalty, why wouldn't the first eagle come to attack the plant? Why shouldn't Nebuchadnezzar destroy Tzidkiyahu for his duplicity? In the end, this foolish search for new alliances led to Tzidkiyahu's children, his fruit, being killed. The next Pasuk, Pasuk Yod, verse 10, adds an important dimension. Even if the eagle doesn't destroy the plant completely, it won't survive the dry east wind that will weaken it. The nimshal, the allegory, is that for those who survive Babel's approaching army, they will be killed by the famine that is coming. Once this mashal has been laid out, Yechezkel will explain the riddle with two approaches over the next 10 psukim. Pasuk Yabez, verse 12. Amor na lebeis hameri, halo yadatem ma'ele? Say now to the rebellious house, don't you know what these, meaning these mashalim, are signifying? Now Yechezkel will explain this riddle. The Jewish people understand that this riddle is about how Nebuchadnezzar took Jehoiachin and his officers from Yerushalayim to Babel. Yechezkel goes on to explain that Nebuchadnezzar took Matanya, who had royal lineage, and made a treaty with him to appoint him king. He then says that there are two reasons for Tzidkiyahu's punishment. The first reason is that it is shameful that Tzidkiyahu violated an agreement and went against the stipulations he made with Nebuchadnezzar. Keeping one's word is a basic tenet of relationships and civilization. Destroying relationships affects how Hashem judges us. The tenets of the agreement laid out in Pasuk Yedaled, verse 14, that he should be Mamlacha Shvela Levilti Hisnase, a lowly kingdom that wouldn't be elevated, was part of Hashem's will for him. Yirmiyahu had warned Tzidkiyahu against following the path to gain more power. But as it describes in Pasuk Tezvav, verse 15, Tzidkiyahu did not stick to his end of the bargain. The pasuk explains the nimshal for the second eagle in the mashal. Vayimradbo limshloach malachav Mitzrayim laseslo susim va'amrav. He rebelled against him by sending his ambassadors into Egypt that they might give him horses and many people. By sending messages and asking for help from Mitzrayim, Tzidkiyahu was violating the bris. The pasuk then tells us that as a result of his decision, Tzidkiyahu will die in Babel. Pasuk Yud Zayin, verse 17, V'lo v'chayel gadol v'kal rav yasa oso paro b'milchama. Neither shall Paro with his mighty army and great company do for him in war. When they make a mound and build forts for a siege, lachris nefashos rabos, to cut off many souls. Paro came out with a small army to help Tzidkiyahu. The Midrash says that when the Mitzrayim passed the Yam Suf, it spewed out wreckage from the time of the splitting of the Red Sea. When the Mitzrayim saw this, and they remembered that their ancestors were killed because of the Jews they were about to go save, they turned around and went home. The Babylonians heard that the Egyptians were coming and brought their forces to besiege the city. Their siege with all the siege warfare is what led to the many deaths. This behavior of breaking the bris, which is described in Pasuk Yud Ches, verse 18, was a sin and led to the war that descended on them. V'hinei nasan yado v'chol ela asa lo yimaleit. Tzidkiyahu had given his hand, meaning it was like he shook on it in good faith, and did all these things, and therefore he shall not escape punishment. As we have seen, the first reason for punishment was violating the treaty. In Pasuk Yud Ches, verse 19, it tells us that the second reason was that violating the oath was a chilul Hashem. This pact was made in Hashem's name, so when Tzidkiyahu violated it, it demeaned Hashem in front of Nebuchadnezzar and Babel. Imlo alasi asher baza, it is surely my oath that he has despised. Therefore, Yechezkel informs the nation, Hashem will trap Tzidkiyahu and have him brought to Babel. In Psukim Chaf Beis through Chaf Dalet 22-24, after conveying so clearly what will happen to the royal house, Hashem consoles the Jewish people. The Navi uses similar words that describe the action of Nebuchadnezzar and replace what Babel will do to the Jewish people with what Hashem will do in the long term with the house of David. Hashem will take new young branches and will put them on a high mountain. There the plants will grow. The nimshal is that Jehoiachin, who is in Babel, will end up having a descendant named Zerubbabel, who leads the Jewish people back to Israel and is the precursor of the Davidic dynasty until today. The mashal continues, this tree won't be a vine, but a beautiful tree that will provide shade for all around it. In the last pasuk, Pasuk of Dalet, verse 24, Yechezkel explains why all the events in this parak, including the eventual geula through Zerubbabel, had to happen. What was the goal? We have seen that there have always been an objective for each aspect of Galus. Similarly, there will always be a greater purpose to the events that lead up to geula. V'yadu kol atzei hasadeh, and all the trees of the field will know, meaning all the nations of the world and people will recognize, ki ani Hashem, that I am Hashem, who decides and executes what happens in each kingdom and with all the kings. There is hashkacha pratis, direct providence. If Hashem wants, he can elevate or downgrade anyone from being a ruler over a nation. Ani Hashem dibarti v'asisi, I am Hashem, I spoke and I did. What Hashem wants to happen will happen, no matter how much we fight against it. In summary, this parak dealt with the political world surrounding the time of the Chorban. It was presented in the form of a riddle so that its true intent could be masked. It let the nation know that Hashem supported Nebuchadnezzar's demand that Yerushalayim be a vassal state. When Tzidkiyahu sought outside help to break the treaty, he not only rebelled against Nebuchadnezzar, he also rebelled against Hashem, whose name was used to make the oath binding. Despite Tzidkiyahu's intentions, the alliance led to a swift end to his dynasty. Instead, in this dark time, Hashem created a new dynasty through the descendants of Jehoiachin Zerubbabel that will lead to Melech HaMashiach, the King Mashiach. Thank you for studying together, Le'iloi Nishmas, Malka Esther, Basvi Yosef.